Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're answering more listener questions on Dynasty Fantasy Football on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the Roto-Viz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We are two of the owners here at Roto-Viz. Looking forward to talking some more Dynasty tonight. I will, however, share with you, though, that my co-host, Mr. Curtis Patrick, is having some technical difficulties over there in Ohio and, might have some trouble hearing me as we record this. Curtis, are you still functioning over there? What's going on?
Yeah, I can hear you, man. I apologize in advance if my audio levels are disturbingly loud to the listening audience, because it's just one of those nights, man. I had to jack up my mic settings. I think one of my earbuds blew. I'm thinking that, you know, maybe my wife was in here jamming today, or my son cranked this stuff up and didn't tell me. But you know what? Mailbag is always fun because we get to hear about problems and opportunities from the listeners. And I picked out a bourbon that I think is fitting. You know, maybe it'll fix my technical woes. Maybe it'll fix some fantasy teams. Dave, tonight I've got Old Forester 1920 Prohibition style. And what's cool about Prohibition style bourbon is during the Prohibition, the only way to get bourbon was actually you needed a prescription from your physician. It was the only legal way to get bourbon. And so it's the prescription for my situation, and we're going to dish some prescriptions for these Dynasty teams, Dave, so let's get into it.
All right. Our first question comes in from a gentleman named Joshua, who writes, "Hey guys, love the show. This past season, I was in 6 Dynasty leagues and was contention in 5. I got 4 playoff buys, first or second place. I tend to trade a first/second pick or 2 during the season to improve my team, which makes sense to me. I lost 4 to 5 semifinals matchups this year due to the chaos of week 16 and due to the trade deadline and not being able to pick up Rashad Penny, etc. on waivers. Now I have lower draft picks and veteran teams at a time of year when other owners are thirsty for picks and veterans go for low prices. My teams are generally pretty good, but I feel like my hands are tied in some ways in terms of options for improvement. Am I doing this wrong?" I guess my first thought there, Curtis, would be, I think that actually sounds like a pretty successful campaign this year to me to get to the semifinals. I understand things didn't break your way, but sometimes what you really need to pay attention to is getting that far. Obviously, you'd like to push things over the goal line, but this doesn't sound to me like it was a failure of a season in any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, let's separate it out. So first off, Josh, man, great season. It stinks that you didn't bring home as much hardware as you probably were dreaming about as the playoffs started. You're thinking like you came up pure this year. Yeah, I think there's a lot of teams that were a lot of dynasty managers that ended up in this situation. And it sounds like you've played very well across your portfolio. Either you're doing a great job of adjusting, you know, for the roster settings, scoring settings, et cetera, or, you know, maybe across your portfolio, you've just landed on a lot of the same players and your exposures all hit in the same year. And, you know, that's why you ended up in this position. So I would say it's not that you're doing it wrong. You're clearly doing something right if you're making four out of your five dynasty semifinals. But what I would say is, you know, I would need to see your teams. Sometimes when I see a really veteran heavy dynasty manager, there's a tendency to be really concerned about having quality depth all the way down, you know, to the end of the bench. I've got to have the best possible person to start on my buys. I've got to have great backups, et cetera. And if you're making those types of trades, to boost your teams with veteran depth, it's going to bite you in the long run. We need to be okay with the idea that, you know, some of our depth is first and second year players that may or may not pan out. And if they do pan out, it might not be toward the end of the season. That's really the ideal way to play dynasty. It's in some ways the way that we play, you know, redraft tournament style, drafts. It's, you really want your team to be firing on all cylinders, you know, from week nine on. And so, you know, without seeing some examples of your teams, it's pretty difficult to, you know, say you're doing it wrong. But what I would say is, you know, to kind of take that feedback and run down your teams. Do you have more veterans than you have starting lineup spots, for example? Or is your entire lineup full of players that are older than age 25? You know, those are a couple just quick screening tools that you could look at, especially for the non-quarterback and non-tight ends. So, you know, really just your running backs and your receivers. And, you know, in terms of next steps, well, let's pause there for a second, because I want to give you some next steps and some ideas for the trades. But Dave, anything that you would add to that or disagree with?
No, nothing I would disagree with. I guess the one thought that I had was the note that Joshua made about how he wasn't able to grab certain guys off of the waiver, like Rashad Penny, guys like that. And I think without seeing the makeup, it might speak to what you're kind of getting at, which is I think it might serve him well if he had a couple of more rotational spots that he's viewing in his roster where he could get some of those guys that go on that tear at the end of the season and try to proactively go after them so that it's not coming to this point where, you know, he's not able to get them when you reach week 14, 15, 16, so that you already have a couple of those players there hoping that one of them can emerge. Does it always happen? No. But if he's worried about it, that might be one of the measures he could take going forward to try to prevent being in that situation.
Yeah, that's another great way of putting it. Kind of just different way of stating the same thing. Your bench really should be made up of speculative, potentially high upside players. The majority of your bench. It's okay to have your first or second flex be, you know, one of these, you know, low value, but, you know, consistent producers, just for the, you know, the bye week or the injury disaster, you know, late scratch situation. In terms of moving forward, you know, you're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head. You've obviously been playing Dynasty for several years, because your note of owners being thirsty for picks right now and veterans going for low prices, it's spot on, man. And it's that dynamic's only going to be more true from now, really through the NFL draft. So now is not the time to trade your veterans. It's going to be hard, man. It's going to be hard. You're going to be looking at your rosters, watching the other teams in your league improve, or at least, you know, have the illusion of improving, you know, for some managers, you know, as they add these rookie picks to their team. What I want you to do is really do your deep rookie research. I'm sure you have some third round picks, some fourth round picks. Can you trade some of your players that don't have much value for more third round picks? I want you to consider buying our dynasty, or our RotoViz fantasy football, rookie draft guide. You know, we're going to go 50 plus players deep in every format. We're going to have the deep research, to help you hit on some of these players that are available, you know, past pick 24 in these drafts. So that's one thing you can do. There's other great sites putting out good rookie content as well. You know, we believe in our process, so strongly encourage you to take a look at that. And then you're going to wait until training camp, because invariably there's going to be veteran injuries. There's going to be rookies that look like they're not going to pan out. And that is going to be your time. You're going to have peer managers in your league freaking out that they don't have the enough points in their starting lineup from the projections and whatever applet is feeding their fantasy league. Then that's when you're going to strike. That is when you're going to strike and trade some of these players, probably for 2023 draft capital. You're going to be tempted to get other players, but I really want you to trade some of these veterans for 2023 second round picks, first round picks at that point. So, patience is a virtue, Josh, and it's a recipe for dynasty success when you find your portfolio in this situation. Hopefully, some of this feedback was helpful. And, hey, if you've got a follow-up question, shoot it by and we'll get to it next week, man.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I guess the only other thing I would say at this point too, just kind of in relation to what you were saying about the veterans, is never hurts to just keep looking through that dynasty team, thinking about the role that you anticipate each player might have next year, and just see if there's any way that there's a package of those veterans that you can unload if you feel like you have some redundancy in your roster. It's another thing you can do now. Even if you don't make the moves now, you're just kind of planning out, you know, making that short list of players that you might be interested in moving. And then the guys that you maybe want to monitor for when, you know, values change throughout the season. If a player's values dips, but, you know, you think that he might have a spot on your team. So that brings us to another question from Android here, Android70 on Twitter, who checked in with us a couple of times during the season, who wrote to us, "Hey guys, you mentioned looping back postseason as to where I ended up. I snuck in with the sixth seed at 6-8 and promptly got stomped on by the number one seed. Do I make another run at it with CMC next year, or try and move him for a quarterback and or wide receiver? Help. Thanks." So this league, I believe, is super flex, Curtis, judging by his roster. Let's take a quick look at it. So for quarterback, there's Darnold, Garoppolo, Heinicke, Mayfield, Trask, and Wentz. Running backs, Edmonds, Kylan Hill, Hubbard, Aaron Jones, CMC, Trey Sermon, Javonte Williams. Wide receivers, Davante Adams, Nelson Agholor, Robbie Anderson, Paris Campbell, Chase Claypool, Jameson Crowder, T.Y. Hilton, Calvin Ridley. Tight end, Dan Arnold, Noah Gray, Chris Herndon, Tyler Kroft, David Njoku, Ricky Seals-Jones, Darren Waller. How do you want to go through thinking about this, Curtis? Because that's a pretty big roster, a lot of things going on there. You probably have a better idea of how we should frame this response than I do.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oh, I see this one crystal clear, man. I'm excited for this response. So first off, Android, it played out the way we thought, man. We were hoping that by not making a rash sell-off and holding strong, would McCaffrey come back? Could you get hot in the playoffs? He didn't really come back long enough. He did come back, but he didn't come back long enough, and the Panthers season kind of derailed. For you to get into the playoffs with this situation, kind of a disaster at quarterback. Baker Mayfield missed plenty of games. Carson Wentz didn't really have much upside as the team leaned on Jonathan Taylor. Jimmy Garoppolo was spotty. Heinicke was spotty. Darnold got benched. But you made it work. At running back, you had a situation where you didn't have Christian McCaffrey, and Javonte Williams spent the entire season in a timeshare. At wide receiver, Calvin Ridley just decided he's done playing. I'm just not going to play. And Ben Roethlisberger's elbow caved in, and Chase Claypool didn't give us, you know, what we expected in a year where he really should have been making a leap. And then Darren Waller missed half the season. I mean, things couldn't have gone worse for this team, and you still made it into the playoffs. I believe that you had some rookie capital from our last check-in with you. I think you stay the course, man, because I think this team gets better just by turning the calendar year, turning over to 2022, man. A full season from Darren Waller, a full season from Christian McCaffrey. If Ridley were to come back and play, Javonte Williams is the clear RB1 in his backfield. I mean, there are a lot of ways this team gets better just by, you know, getting healthy again. You've got some rookie draft capital. I think it makes sense to spend, you know, if you've only got one first round pick, this isn't a year where I expect the quarterback class to be viewed as an elite class. You know, everyone's, you know, kind of like in that B grade, but there's a lot of guys that kind of have that grade. And I think, you know, if you've got a pick in the top 15, you got a great shot at one of the top four, one of the top five quarterbacks, and you can piece together your starters in a super flex league with what you've got. You've got the depth. Baker Mayfield has already been named the starter for next season. That helps. Jimmy Garoppolo getting into the divisional round in the playoffs, he's going to be starting somewhere next year. I feel pretty solid about that. And the Colts might want to explore what they can do at quarterback, but Wentz is probably the starter to begin the season. So there's not a hint of desperation. You can add a rookie that can develop even if, you know, he doesn't start in year one. And then in those other rounds, in rounds 2, 3, 4 and on, let's just come in, especially at the wide receiver position. You're getting a little long in the tooth there. So I want you to probably spend your second round pick on a wide receiver. That's what I'm thinking. And then best player available, you know, in the later rounds. So that's probably my approach here. I don't think you should get desperate and sell McCaffrey. You know, we just got done talking about Josh's team. It's the wrong time to sell veterans, man. So you're going to be taking, you know, quarters on the dollar. Whereas, you know, next August rolls around and McCaffrey's probably more valuable than he is today again. Dave, would you do anything differently here?
No, I don't think I would do anything differently here. My gut reaction, I was reading through that roster, was there's some names there. There's definitely some players there. This does not feel like the type of team that you need to blow up. Now, having said that, I'm not opposed to him going out there later in the year when other teams start looking at the roster and they start to get worried about what their starters are going to look like, floating out McCaffrey for some type of upgrade, be it another strong running back in picks or another strong running back and a wide receiver or something. I think that you can definitely explore those options, but I would not move McCaffrey just for the sake of moving him, and especially not at this point in time. The other thing I was going to say was this team looks to me like it could just be a piece or two away from really, really competing. So, you know, if there is a way that they could do something where, you know, they consolidate either some of their lower level players or a pick or two into just another like solid piece. Doesn't need to be, you know, an absolutely elite wide receiver, but one that they can rely on. That might be something to work at too. So I would be looking for incremental improvement with this team versus trying to blow it up. So we're on the same page.
Yeah. As you talk through that, I think the one trade that I might try to make as the rookie draft approaches, or if somebody's got a lot of draft capital, you know, a lot of times these owners that accrue tons of picks, they don't necessarily plan on drafting all rookies with them, and they're fine to convert some of it back into player capital. Looking at your running back depth, you know, Christian McCaffrey, overall running back one, is certainly in the picture if he can stay healthy. Javonte Williams, you know, we like in all of his metrics and our advanced stats look great. You know, we think he's poised for a year two breakout. Aaron Jones, I think, you know, pairing him with a third round pick or even a later second round pick, you know, you the sixth seed, so you're talking like 207, I think would be your pick. Pairing Aaron Jones with a 207 to get another pick in the mid to late first, I think could make some sense. Yeah. I think you've got Chase Edmonds there as some protection. And then now you give yourself another upside shot. We know that first round picks only hit about 50% of the time in terms of being, you know, a multiple year fantasy starter. So I really like the idea of casting, you know, a roll on two dice there in the first round. So there's one specific trade that you could explore. I think he's the one guy that still has some name value, and the fact that you're throwing a pick in with him just for a round upgrade. I mean, the difference between a mid to late second to a mid first is pretty big. That's going to be after a pretty major tier break, maybe two tier breaks this season. So there's one that you can go explore. There's probably only a handful of owners you can actually have as potential trade partners. You try it now. There's no interest. You try it again, you know, maybe in March after the combine and there's more information known.
Yeah, nice pickup there of Aaron Jones, because while you were reading off that, I looked back through this roster, and I think you're right that he has the best combination of name recognition at the current point, but also a player that I don't think is going to be the type of player that needs to remain on this roster long term and is probably trending downward that I'd feel comfortable moving. So I think that you identify the name there. Now, I know this is going to be a shorter episode, but with the technical difficulties, we got started a little bit late. And one of the things I had been thinking about talking about here, I think we're going to save for next week. But what it basically is going to be, for a little preview here, is I want to look at some of the wide receivers and the running backs this year, maybe even some of the quarterbacks and tight ends too, that were rookies this year. Take a look at how they performed and then kind of put things in a historical context like we do sometimes using the RotoViz screener, doing some similarity searches to see how other players performed in their rookie seasons that were comparable to these guys, and then think about what that might mean for their future. So we'll be talking through guys like Elijah Moore. We'll revisit Jalen Waddle. We'll look at Javonte Williams, players like that. So I think that's going to be a pretty compelling exercise to go through, which is something we'll look at next week. But Curtis, it's Friday. Looks like it's been a tough day for you. Why don't you give the listener some inspiration and, you know, yourself a little pick me up at the same time?
Oh, I never need a pick me up, man. I could be real and share my situation, but I'm always staying positive. I just feel like we've got that relationship with the listeners that I can be real about my technical difficulties and they don't think that I'm ready to jump off a cliff. Yep. So, I think, as I was walking through the hospital this morning, one of my favorite security guards that works at the hospital, his name is DeMario. And he actually, he played on Jim Tressel's Youngstown State National Championship teams.
Oh, that's
he's
really
brought
cool.
in his helmet and his rings. And I mean, listen, like, if you want the guy to hide behind in a crisis, like, yeah, DeMario's your guy. So what he said to me today, you know, I always stop by and, you know, ask how his day's going. He said, hey, I'm on the right side of the dirt. And, you know, I just love him, man. I love it because if you can just start your day by being grateful that you have this day, think about the upside that exists for you today. I mean, you're starting off with a base level of gratitude. So, you know, when you do that, and if you can find a way to do that in the morning, you know, maybe you're appreciating the sunrise, maybe your coffee tasted great, maybe your hair fell just right, or the shower felt great, whatever it is, find something to be grateful for early in the morning, and then just pass that on to other people. It really will brighten other people's day, and you never know who needs that. And, I think there's just so much power in being the person that's putting that positive energy out there, because, you know, every interaction that we make has that, you know, has that butterfly effect, throughout your life, the area around you, and, all the people that they will then come into contact with. I'm closer to this and a little touchy feely as a healthcare worker, thinking about people's, you know, emotional and spiritual well-being in addition to their physical health. But I think a lot of people can connect to the value of this from a mental health perspective. That's been a big topic over the course of the past 2 or 3 years as everyone gets more educated. So challenge for next week, wake up, find something to be grateful for, and then let that guide your day.
Oh, and of course I hit the wrong sound effect there.
He dumped it.
Oh, man. Oh,
I'm
man.
I'm grateful for your board running, Dave.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
See, what I really need is an easier way to toggle back and forth between the different sound banks, because I go to the middle like sound bank for the effects for the show, my intro and outro on a different one. I either need to consolidate or just get better at flipping back and forth.